180 is the page in the Church Bible. Philippians, the Epistle to the Philippians, and chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, and reading on into chapter 4, and the end of verse 9. Two sections, the first head pressing on towards the goal, and the second exhortations. Let's hear God's word together. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Herodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word to us this afternoon. Let's sing our second hymn together. Let's turn back to that passage just read from in God's word, Philippians in chapter 4. Let's ask God's help as we consider his word this evening together. Lord, as we come to your word again this evening, we pray, Lord, at the outset that you would help us and teach us your word. Give us eyes to see, minds to understand, and hearts to believe your word. And Lord, that we would trust you and look to Jesus. And Lord, that you would work in our hearts and lives your purposes as your people. Your word would cleanse our mind. And Lord, that we would trust you more. Help us. Help me, Lord, to speak clearly, but help us each one to listen to what you have to say to us tonight. And that we would hear your voice speaking. We pray this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. And just verse 4, I'm going to consider this evening. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Just a little verse. There's a lot in there though for us to think about tonight. May the Lord help us as we consider his word together. I'm sure you've had a similar experience to what we have when you have that promise of a meteor shower and you get all excited when you look at the weather forecast and realise that the sky is clear and it's going to be in our area and you're going to go and see some meteors and have expectations. We've had experience ourselves out and look, don't see any. And the disappointment sets in, doesn't it? You promised, I mean, we had this experience where they promised 100 an hour and we saw 7 or so, just a handful in that time. But there's something amazing, isn't there, as you see one. You say, there's one. Or inspiring to see a shooting star. A little bit of delight and rejoicing as you see that. But as Christians, we have reason and cause to rejoice, don't we? That is far superior to seeing a shooting star. Seeing meteors. And Spurgeon said that the joy in God is the happiest of all joys. Joy in God is the happiest of all joys. And so as Christians, we should be people of joy. Philippians has been called Paul's letter of joy, his joy letter. It's a theme that recurs throughout this epistle. Rejoicing or joy is mentioned some 16 times. It's worth bearing in mind that Paul writes his epistle while he is in prison. Imprisoned in Rome, 61-62 AD. And yet he writes and colours his epistle with joy. He's writing to the church at Philippi, which he'd founded some 10 years before, and in a close bond with the believers there. They'd supported him during his ministry, and while he's in prison, Epaphroditus went to him and supported and brought him much needed refreshment. And what we have here in these last verses here is the final exhortations that Paul brings to the church at Philippi. That their conduct should be characterized by rejoicing in the Lord. And so ours should be as well. So just looking at this verse 4 together, I want to break it down into this 3 headings for us to think about this evening. And the first one is the exhortation to rejoice. Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice. He's exhorting us to rejoice. To rejoice is to be joyful, be glad, to take delight in something, to be content and satisfied. Paul is exhorting us to have that attitude, to rejoice. It can be used as a greeting, and some have proposed that perhaps what is meant here is a greeting. It's used in James 1 verse 1 in that way, the same Greek word, but it means they're greetings. The context decides the meaning of the word. It can also mean farewell. But the context here and the overall theme of the epistle implies more than it's more than just farewell. Paul is actually writing here that we should and must rejoice. It's something that's gone throughout the epistle. So think about rejoicing. Rejoicing requires a stimuli, doesn't it? It requires something to rejoice in. To rejoice is a response. In Matthew 2, verse 10, we read there of the wise men, the magi. And it says that when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. It's the same word used there. They rejoiced to see the star that they were looking for. Luke 15 speaks there of the good shepherd who was looking for the sheep, the one out of 100 which was missing, searched everywhere for that sheep. When he finds it, he lays it upon his shoulders, and the verse says that he went joyfully as he laid that sheep, that lamb on his shoulders. The same word. And again also in John 8 it says, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. That word glad at the end is that same word. He was glad to see the day of the Lord. All these examples were stimulated to rejoice, whether it was seeing the star, finding the lost sheep, or seeing the Lord's day, stimulated to rejoice. So why do we often find rejoicing so elusive? Why do we find it so hard to rejoice? The opposite of rejoicing is to be sad, miserable, sorrowful, or to grieve. Disappointment and dissatisfaction, discontentment colours that attitude. And that too requires a stimuli. And we know very well, don't we, that those things come into our lives and we often respond in that way. It's a response. So often events in life will cause us to despair. We focus on things that will bring us down. So often we'll fixate ourselves on that thing and find that that is causing us to be discouraged. We live in a fallen world, don't we? It's the result of sin in this world, a fallen condition. Our sinful natures bend us towards that propensity where that is what we default to. We're all affected, aren't we, by the reality of pain and suffering in the world and in life. There's a disconnect, isn't there, between humanity generally and God, and that disconnect leads to being unsatisfied, discontentment. And so joy, real joy, is often elusive in our lives and experiences. And even as Christians, we find ourselves despairing often when things trouble us, situations arise we didn't expect, or things don't go the way we wanted. We find then, where is the joy? But Paul says here that we should rejoice, and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We'll think in a moment a bit more about that. We are to be like-minded with the apostle. Paul says elsewhere to join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. Paul speaks to the believers here, and he had learned to be content in whatever situation he found himself in, whether it was in prison, whether it was with the church at Philippi, whether it is planting a church somewhere else. He had learned in whatever situation he was to be content and to rejoice in the Lord. He'd learned that the Lord was the object and the reason for his rejoicing. And so his life was characterized by joy, and he calls the church to follow his example and to rejoice in the Lord. And so we are called also, as believers, to follow this example, but also to see the Lord as our reason for joy. That's what we find in the next section here. We have this exhortation to rejoice. But how can we possibly rejoice? How can we do this when it's so elusive? When things don't go our way, when things go away in our lives? How can our lives be characterized by this rejoicing which the apostle calls us to, when our tendency rather is to discontentment? Well, we have here the explanation as well, because Paul doesn't just say rejoice and moves on to something else. He says rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is the object of our rejoicing. As we said, rejoicing requires a stimuli. It requires something to rejoice in. And so Paul says here, we are to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in our circumstances, but in the Lord our Saviour. What greater object can there be for us to rejoice in than the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ? In John chapter 20, verse 20, Jesus said, he showed them, as the disciples, his hands and his side. And the disciples' reaction of seeing the Lord there was to be overjoyed when they saw him. They saw the Lord, they met with him, he came to them, and they rejoiced in him, in the Lord, as they saw him. He is the object of our rejoicing, and he still is today. To rejoice in the Lord is to delight in him, to be content in him, to be satisfied in him. He is to be the primary object of our love, of our devotion, of our life. So as the psalmist says in Psalm 37, we are to delight ourselves in the Lord, to see Him before us and to delight in the Lord. He is the object of our rejoicing, but He's also the means of our rejoicing as well. The means of our rejoicing, because Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Being in Christ, in the Lord, is a central theme, isn't it, in Paul's writings? To be in the Lord. Paul begins this epistle as he writes to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Those who are in Christ, in Him. Paul speaks of being found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own, Paul says, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, in Him. And he assures us that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ, that is the means of our rejoicing. He's the object which we rejoice in. We rejoice in the Lord. But our means of rejoicing in Him is our being in Him, if that makes sense. Being in Christ, we are united to Him, and united to Him in His death and in His resurrection, as we've been thinking about, as we've been exploring those themes in our morning services. It's the means by which we're saved, counted righteous, and also persevere, because we are in Christ. This is our reason, our impetus to even consider rejoicing as being in Christ. Without this union, we'd have no desire, would we, for Him, to love Him, unless He first loved us and chose us and came to us. Our identity is in Christ and in Him alone. It's because of what Christ has done in His saving work that we can rejoice. It's because of what He has done, and our being united to Him means we can and should rejoice. Because He lives, we live. Paul said in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's because Jesus rejoiced to do the Father's will and to suffer in our place, taking our sin and punishment, that Paul was able to rejoice in suffering, even while he's in prison, while he suffers there, and also that we are able to rejoice also, who for the joy set before him, the Lord Jesus that is, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As we thought of this morning, our Saviour going to the cross and all that He endured there, being pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquity. He took upon Himself our sin, our condition, broken condition, and paid the penalty for that, so that we may be forgiven and cleansed, but also that we are able to joy in Him. So at the end, we have that hope, don't we, of the new creation of heaven. And as it says in Matthew 25, we enter into the joy of thy Lord, as it says in Matthew 25. Come and share your master's happiness. Enter into his joy. Not as our example, one we look at to follow in that way, but as our Saviour, the one who has taken our place, and in whom we have life. In whom we are united to, who gives us life. And so we rejoice in Him. To witness that meteor shower we mentioned at the beginning, you require lots of things to happen at the same time. Conditions. The time has to be right. There has to be a clear sky. Not much light pollution, which we suffer from around Heathrow. But even if you see them, they're fleeting. They go past so quickly. They're so quick and fast. It's like life, isn't it? Life is like that. Fleeting things, conditions change, no lasting contentment. But not so with the Saviour. He doesn't pass by like that shooting star. He's promised to be forever with us, his people. He's both the object of our rejoicing, but also the means by which we rejoice. And he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. So what are we rejoicing in today? What things give us joy and cause to rejoice? Do we find ourselves cast down? As the psalmist says, why am I cast down, O my soul? Rejoice in the Lord, hope in the Lord, see him. What things are taking our attention away from the Lord, who is the object of our joy and the means by which we rejoice? What things are we chasing like shooting stars in our lives which would take our gaze away from the Saviour? What Paul is writing here isn't just simply an encouragement, but an appeal to faith. What he's saying is that when he says rejoice in the Lord always is look to Jesus. Look to Christ. He's appealing to us to trust him. It's an appeal to faith. To delight in the Lord is to believe him, isn't it? To see him and to trust him. To be content in him. And this is how we are to rejoice. As we look at our own life situations, the things happening this past week, and we look and we see the discouragement and we feel ourselves cast down and we analyse it afterwards, and hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? We see that we're looking in the wrong place so often. We're hoping in this to happen or that to happen, and that would maintain or continue our joy and our happiness, but then it doesn't happen. And we find ourselves cast down, and the lesson is there for us to learn, for me to learn, but to look to the Lord and to rejoice in him, to trust him. It's an appeal to faith, to trust the Lord, to look to him. We've been reading, Melanie and I, The Fruitful Life by Jerry Bridges. And this last chapter we read through last week was about joy, timely. And he gave in there some practical aids for joy in our lives. And I'd like to share those with you this evening. He mentions firstly some stumbling blocks for joy, four things. Obviously, sin in our lives is a stumbling block, isn't it? For joy, as we look at ourselves and think, why am I cast down, as the psalmist says? We should look and see, is there unconfessed sin in our life? Are there things that we should confess to the Lord? Misplaced confidence is another. As we just said, we're looking at other things to bring us joy and satisfaction, and they let us down because they don't bring us lasting joy. Misplaced confidence. But also Jerry Bridges mentions discipline of the Lord. The Lord chastises his people, but he does so in love to correct us. And so if that is what is happening in your situation, then he encourages us to see the Lord's purposes and to trust the Lord as he brings about his purposes in our lives. And also there's trials, another stumbling block. In our lives, aren't they, are coloured by trials and difficulties. And we should again see the Lord's hand in our lives. Four stumbling blocks. But he also goes on and mentions four stepping stones. And he speaks about, linked to sin, to confess our sin. Confessing our sin is a stepping stone in joy in our lives. To confess and forsake sin. And to know the grace of God and the forgiveness of God that he gives us, his people, in Christ Jesus. That is a stepping stone to joy in our lives. To trust in God. Paul is exhorting us here to rejoice and appeal to faith. We are to trust God, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, a stepping stone to joy. To take the long range view of life. We're only here for a brief time, aren't we? But we have the hope of heaven, the new creation, the new heavens and new earth, forever with the Lord. Take that long range view of life, why we struggle and have things in this life which would bring us discontentment, and do to see those things and to trust the Lord to bring those things about. is a stepping stone to joy. And also he mentions, this is a big one, giving thanks in all circumstances. It's a hard one, isn't it? To give thanks in all circumstances. Not to give thanks for the difficulties themselves, but in the midst of difficulties and trials, is a stepping stone to joy. To know that God is still on the throne, that he reigns, we can trust him. So we are to thank the Lord and praise his name continually. We are to be people of joy. And I'm preaching to myself this evening. I shared this message, the idea, with my wife, and she said, you need to preach this week. Because so often in our lives we forget, don't we? The source of our joy, where our hope should be, and we are cast down. Paul says here, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in him. If you're feeling cast down this evening, and look to Jesus. Look to him and rejoice in him as you trust him and put your faith in him continually. And so we have here an exhortation to rejoice. An explanation to rejoice in the Lord. But also Paul says we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Always. The extent to which we are to rejoice. Always. And it is a blessing, isn't it? To be able to rejoice in the Lord. That our joy isn't found in changing circumstances which change all over the place. Where would we find our bearings but to delight in the Lord and to rejoice in him always. To know he is fixed. And our Saviour always is a privilege and a joy itself, isn't it? He is the one who is holy and pure and righteous, the judge of all the earth. Will he always do right? Yes, he will. And he gives himself for us who are sinners, deals with our sin problem as we thought of this morning, establishes relationship with us, and so works in us that we can and do and will rejoice in him. Always we can. And always we should. In the God of our salvation. It's a wonderful privilege. But also a lasting privilege. A lasting privilege at all times. So joy cannot be tied to circumstances which change. Because Paul is exhorting us to joy in the Lord. Always. It is lasting, as our salvation is lasting, always to be the object of our joy, always to be the means of our rejoicing. Our life is in him. Do we believe that we can lose our salvation? No, we say strongly. John says, or it says in John's Gospel, chapter 6, and this is the will of him who sent me, Jesus said, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. It's not possible that your salvation, if truly in Christ, can be lost, because we are in his hand, safe and secure in him. But it is true that we may lose the appreciation of salvation for a season, for a time. Is that true for you this evening? To lose the appreciation of salvation? If so, you are to look to Jesus. Look to him. And be reminded of all he's done for you. And see in him your perfect Saviour. Sufficient Saviour. Strong Saviour. It's a blessing, the rejoicing, to rejoice in the Lord always. But it's also a necessity, because Paul is saying here, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's a necessity to rejoice in the Lord always. Paul knows our propensity to despair and that we would left to our own devices. The Lord knows this. And so he encourages us to trust in Christ, to rejoice in him, calls us to look to him always. And so we are to look to our God and Saviour. As we began our service, we read Psalm 96 together. And it reminds us there that the Lord, he is our great and glorious Lord, and most worthy of praise, verse 4. It says in verse 8, to ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. He deserves our praise and our worship. And we must delight in him. We must rejoice in him because he is God. To rejoice in something else instead of the Lord is surely idolatry, isn't it? To put something else in his place and say, I delight in this more than the Lord. No, we are to rejoice in the Lord. That is the essence of our worship as we come together. Each Lord's Day we come to worship. And we worship the Lord. We rejoice in him. Spurgeon again, he said, whatever is your greatest joy and treasure, that is your God. And the Lord is our greatest joy, isn't he? And our treasure. It's the purpose for which we are created, to rejoice and to joy in the Lord. So we need to be reminded, don't we, how precious he is, how gracious our Lord is, to rejoice in him always. As meteor showers only occur at occasional circumstances, as once or twice a year we have those happening. And the extent of our rejoicing in those shooting stars is very limited. But the Lord is forever our Saviour. And so we can and we must and we are to always to rejoice in him. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. One day and for all eternity we will be forever with the Lord, rejoicing before him, delighting in him. But what about today? What about now? Is there evidence in our lives of this work in us? Can it be said of us that we are always rejoicing in the Lord? Or are our lives more characterized by other things? We need to be reminded, don't we, of the gospel. Keep coming back to the gospel and seeing in our Saviour all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do for us. To hear his voice. How important it is to read our Bibles and to pray daily, to be in communion with our Lord. How dependent we are upon him, to rejoice in him always. Will you remind yourself of the Saviour's great love for you? Will you rejoice in him and delight in him this week? The God of your salvation. And will we speak of Christ to one another? And to each other, encouraging and building each other up in our faith in the Saviour. Will this rejoicing in the Saviour colour our prayers as we meet together this Wednesday? Will we be rejoicing in the Lord and praising his name as we pray on our own in our quiet times with our families? Are our prayers coloured by rejoicing in him, in all that he's done for us? Oh, that he would inflame our hearts to love and to serve him more and better, and to see him, to love him, and thereby serve others, to share with others the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always, brothers and sisters. And again, I say, rejoice. Let us pray.